Good morning, church family. It's a beautiful Sabbath, if you hadn't noticed. Those of you that are visiting us, welcome to our little church here at Point Loma. It's one of the best-kept secrets. But we're just so thankful that we have the privilege and the opportunity to come here and to worship God. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that beautiful season of worship. I have told stories about this particular island many times, and it's left many impressions on my mind. It was an island that we would go to several times a year there, right off the coast of Borneo. It was called Plau Gaya. This particular trip, we had a Pathfinder camperee going on, and we had just finished water skiing and playing around out in the cove with the motorboat, and it was time to bring it in. The sun was starting to set. And as the sun was setting, the birds were all nesting, going to their nests and their roosts, and the jungle was getting quieter. And we were sitting there, and suddenly we realized off in the distance there was this very dark cloud. And you don't always have, you know, your radio stations tuned in out there in the jungle. You don't even have radios with you. And so you kind of have to go by experience and by your senses. And we realized that there was a storm on its way. And so a couple of us decided that we probably had better take the motorboat and move it out further in the cove, away from the reef, and to anchor it out there so that it would not it wouldn't be damaged by the waves. And so we swam out to the boat and moved it out just beyond where the waves were breaking, and anchored it and secured it well. And it wasn't more than a matter of minutes and the storm hit us, and it was a doozy. The wind was blowing hard. The waves were getting higher and higher. They went from about 2 feet to about 6 to 8 foot waves. And we knew that we had to keep that boat out beyond the break. And so we decided we were probably going to have to stay there until the storm passed by. And so one of us dove down with a rope and found a big coral stump there that we tied the rope to. We knew that that would keep us moored well in the cove. We threw out anchors to keep the boat, front of the boat, heading into the waves. And we decided that we would just wait it out. And so we began to make sure that the boat was kept into the waves. And we realized that this was a storm that was going to last a little longer. And so through the night, we fought with those waves. We bailed like crazy. At one time during the night when the tide had dropped, the waves were actually breaking on the boat, and we had to move the boat out through the breaking waves. And it was a scary. I still remember how I felt that night. I was wondering, well, you know, if the boat goes down, at least I can swim to the shore. But needless to say, it was a frightful experience. And as I read this story here that Luke records for us in the book of Acts chapter 27, I realize this is a similar experience, except much more frightening. In fact, Luke goes into detail about what was happening and what went on during this storm. Now, Paul was on his way, of course, to Rome, where he was to be sent or judged by Caesar. He had called for that. He said, I'm a Roman citizen, and I want to go before Caesar. You know, it's like I said last week, it's like walking into the lion's den, you know. It's an interesting trait that Paul had. He was not satisfied with just standing before the Sanhedrin or Felix or Festus or any of the other people that were judges. He wanted to go before the greatest, the most powerful man of Rome. And as a citizen, he had the right to do that and to appeal for that. And so we find him on board a ship with a Roman soldier, a centurion, and some men. And they're making their way now to Rome. If you pick up the story in Acts, the 27th chapter, in verse 13, well, actually just before 13, the last of verse 12. It since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided, isn't that interesting, the majority, decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. Now, this was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Now, of course, you know that Paul was against sailing. He was against moving forward because he was afraid for the lives of everyone on board. And also, God had kind of given him the impression that this was not the thing to do. But they went against that. The majority won. And so when a gentle wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Now, if you have a map in your Bible, you can kind of see where this journey was. And some of you may have gone over to that part of the world and have made a trip along the coast there. And so you probably know some of this. Now, they are not long into the trip when a wind of hurricane force. Now, I don't know if any of you that are visitors today have come from Florida or the East Coast and some of those areas. They've had some serious hurricane weather over there. And it swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed the ice, or rather as we passed the lee of a small island called Caia, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed the ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Now, you know, we say, well, that was kind of a silly thing to do. Why are they using the ropes to keep the ship together? And you have to understand that the ships that they made, the ancient ships, were well made. They were very, in fact, very good ships. But they were made with planks. And sometimes in storms, those planks would loosen up and they would spring a leak. And so they decided that what they needed to do was to wrap the ropes under the boat, tighten them up, cinch them together to kind of keep the boat together during the storm. And so they're doing everything they can to make sure that the boat is seaworthy. They realize the storm is something they're going to have to live through, that they're not going to escape it. The wind is driving them along, and they begin to take measures to save the ship in order for the 276 people on board to make it out of this experience alive. These are sailors and seamen that were extremely adept and very wise. They knew this kind of weather. They knew they were in serious trouble. And it's interesting because you find Luke giving some interesting details about this storm, about this particular experience that you don't find him giving about other similar experiences. It must have scared him, you know, pretty bad. And so we see here that they passed the ropes under, and then they lowered the sea anchor and they let the ship be driven along. In other words, they're trying to slow the ship down. They're trying to put drag in the water to keep the ship from just moving along with the wind and the hurricane. And it says they were driven along. And it says in verse 18, we were violently battered, throwing cargo. They began to throw cargo overboard. Now, when a merchant ship starts to throw its cargo overboard, then that's kind of the last straw. I mean, that's their income. That's how they make their living. That's how they build their reputation. And so they knew that when you start throwing cargo overboard, that's pretty much a sentence. They're going to wreck the ship. It's going to wreck somewhere. They're just trying to keep it afloat as long as they can so they can get close to a place where they can, either run it up on the beach or jump overboard and swim to shore. And so that's what they're doing. They're looking for a place to safely put the ship and get off the ship. And you can imagine the fear that must have been in everyone's eyes. Have you ever been in an experience where you looked at someone who you thought would probably be the bravest one in the group and you can see it in their eyes? There's this intense fear. I remember, actually during that experience, that night we spent on board that little 17-foot motorboat in big swells, big waves, looking at the teacher from the academy, who was probably 15, 20 years older than me, and I looked up to him as being the brave one, and there was fear in his eyes. And I can remember us praying all night long, Lord, keep us safe. Keep the boat afloat. These people were no different. I'm sure that there were people, passengers on board that were from many different countries that worshiped many different gods and idols. And so you could probably hear just sort of this quiet, people praying out loud here and there on the ship. And the experience becomes, well, it said right here, in fact, we just read it, that they had, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up hope of being saved. Finally gave up. Now you would think at this point, Paul, to my knowledge, was not a sailor. If Peter had been here, maybe it would have been a little different, but Paul was he was an intellectual sort of guy. Educated man, hard worker, but in this situation, I'm sure he was frightened. He was afraid. And of course, when a good man of God becomes fearful or afraid, what do? They begin to pray. They begin to call upon God. And so Paul was praying, and as he was praying that night, he received, encouragement, from an angel. And the angel said, don't worry. Don't be afraid, Paul. I promise you that everyone on board ship will be saved. The ship will be smashed to pieces. The ship will be lost. The cargo will be lost. Everything will be lost. But if you just have trust in my words, if you just have faith in your God, I will assure you that all hands on deck will be saved. And so Paul, because he believed in God's word and God's promises, because he believed in the power of God in every situation, because he'd been in every imaginable situation, he knew that his God would be faithful and keep that promise. And of course, he shared that message with those on board. Now, at this point, I just want to stop for a second because as I read through this chapter and the preceding chapter, I thought to myself, well, okay, this is a neat story. And I remember being told the story many, many times as a child growing up. And I've seen videos, the kids' cartoon videos about this story. And it was always an interesting story. And whenever I get a chance, I'm looking at National Geographic or something, and there's stories about, these guys that go around discovering the shipwrecks in this area. They find boats from this time period. I'm always very interested in how the boats were built and what size they are and what kind of cargo they carried. And I begin to realize that this story, and I almost went on to the next, towards the end of the book and finished up the book of Acts, as we've been going through chapter by chapter. And I thought, well, this is a great story, and I'm not sure that, there's a lot of good lessons certainly that we can learn here, but maybe we should just move on and skip over this. Until it suddenly dawned on me that this story was a wonderful example of how the Paul, or rather the disciple or apostle Paul responded under pressure. Now we've seen him in his own, element as he stood in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he knew how to talk to them. He knew how to dialogue with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He had all the training and he had the background for that, the education for that. And finally, when he realized he wasn't going to get anywhere with them, in the previous chapters we went through that, he did an interesting thing. He turned the Sadducees on the Pharisees and they ended up arguing and he kind of walked away. Paul knew how to defend himself. Paul knew how to effectively share his testimony. Paul knew how to convey and to preach the gospel, the everlasting gospel. thousands of people came to the foot of the cross and accepted Jesus Christ because Paul was an effective speaker. But here we see somebody different. Here we look into a little window of Paul's character that would necessarily show up in some of the other stories that we have read. And as I read this account, I realized that I was seeing the Paul, the everyday Paul, the Paul that wasn't under the spotlight, the Paul that was not standing in front of hundreds and thousands of people, the Paul that he wasn't necessarily performing miracles either. He was a man that was afraid for his life here and could have easily crumbled under the circumstances that we see here. So what I see is a Paul who, under incredible crisis, incredible pressure, fear, he's brave. Even before he knelt to pray, even before he heard the words that the angel conveyed to him, he was brave. He wasn't afraid to roll up his sleeves and to get into the midst of the problem. We also find that Paul is someone who naturally encourages others. When things were looking bad, when it seemed like there was no hope, when the boat was about to fall apart, when the possibility of people were going to lose their lives, Paul encouraged them to be of courage, to be hopeful. He was an eternal optimist. An optimist because he had no question in his mind the direction that the world was going and what would ultimately happen at the end. And so he was not a Chicken Little. He was not one who went around mumbling and griping and complaining about the condition of things. He was optimistic because he served a risen Savior. And he repeats that over and over and over throughout his writings. But we also see here too that Paul could get down on the level of a very common man. That when it came to times of difficulty, times of crisis, times of fear and trembling, Paul was just like every other person. And his response under those conditions was to be compassionate, to be caring, to be helpful. And all of this, I don't believe, comes naturally. I think most all of us under crisis at times tend to fluctuate. We vacillate between courage and fear, between bravery and cowardice. But Paul had faith in his God. He had a faith that could not be shaken by the greatest Roman soldiers, by the rulers of the land, by the religious legalists. He could not be shaken by the worst storm that came along. He was securely founded. He was securely anchored in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that in this story too, through that experience, through the encouraging of other people, through helping out those who were afraid to die because their lives were empty, they had no hope beyond death, he was able to convey, during those times of darkness and hardship and fear and trembling, he was able to convey a faith in God. A faith that went beyond the difficulty, a faith that went beyond the pain and the suffering and the fear. He had a faith that was founded. It was founded in the risen Lord, his Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave. And his hope and his faith was founded in a sure faith in God. We also note here too that he, throughout this experience, is in constant communion. with his Heavenly Father. He's constantly on, you know, praying. A lot of times we think, well, you got to kneel down, you know, by your bed before you go to bed, and you got to pray. You got to somehow find a place, you know, that's quiet, and you can fold your hands and bow your head and close your eyes. Well, I'm not sure there was much time for any of that during this experience. It was chaotic. People yelling orders, people doing this and that, throwing things overboard, wrapping ropes around the boat, bringing the masts down, you know, all kinds of things were being done. And Paul was right in the middle of that. He was doing a lot of that work. And as he was working, I'm sure that he was praying out loud. And people around him noticed that. And because of his faith in God, he spared not only his own life, but the lives of the other prisoners on board. And the centurion was impressed with Paul's calm demeanor, with his passion for those on board the ship. He knew that something was different about Paul, that he had a strength that was so deep that the God that he worshiped, the God that he prayed to, must be a God that is able to carry them through the storm safely. And so he listened to Paul, and he obeyed the guiding and the words of the Spirit of God that spoke to Paul. And he did not draw his sword. The centurion did not draw his sword and kill the prisoners. He said, listen to what Paul has to say, and let's go ahead with this. And the next morning at sunrise, the boat was stuck firmly. It began to splinter, it began to crack, it began to fall apart. And as people grabbed pieces of wood here and there and jumped into the water and began to swim towards the shore, amazingly enough, they all lived. Not one hair was touched. Just as Paul had said, and as they were washed up onto that beach, they were greeted by the people of that area. And they built a fire for them and fed them and took care of them for many days. They brought the sick to be healed when they found out that Paul was a man of God that had the power of the Spirit in his working in his life. Many people were healed by Paul during that stay there on that island as they were marooned on the shores of that island. Paul was a witness for God even in the midst of the storm. Paul was a witness to his God when times were difficult and hard and fearful, when death seemed to be right at the very door. Paul was faithful because he had anchored his soul to the one and only Savior, his Lord Jesus Christ. We just sang a song not too long ago, Oh No, Never Let Go. You all sang it, sounded beautiful. Did you think of the words? And I liked the chorus. Kept repeating, oh no, never let go. Never let go, never let go. You know, we can draw many lessons from this story. We could draw, now that I've read it a couple times and I realize the incredible testimony to Paul's faith in his God, I could write several sermons on this particular chapter. But the one thing that I continue to draw from this story, from this lesson, is when things seem to be breaking up, when the ship that you're in seems to be splintering and falling apart, when you feel as though, yes, maybe even the church you're in is kind of a little bit, you know, is splintering and it's falling apart, remember that you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the relationship that Paul had with his God that saved him in the storm. And in the end, each person on board that ship had to take the action of jumping overboard and swimming to shore. They were safe because they followed God's leading. They were safe because by faith, yes, a very small faith, but they had faith that they would live. And it gave them the courage and the strength to swim for that shore. As I thought about this and parallel it to our lives today, I realize that we're living in a time where the world is quite chaotic. You don't have to watch the news. Just walk down the street and you see people whose lives are full of fear. People whose lives are just hanging on by a very, very thin thread. And we have the opportunity every day of our lives, whether it's at work, at home, walking down the street, we have the opportunity to share the good news of salvation. We might be on a shipwreck course. Our ship might be breaking up around us, but it's through our relationship with Jesus Christ that we are saved. One-on-one. And I know this morning we have some here who are like me. You might be fourth or fifth generation Christian. And the ship that we've been on board is a ship that has kept us safely. That time of safety someday will end. The ship may break up, but your relationship with Jesus Christ must stay firm and secure. You must stay connected, anchored to the rock, Jesus Christ. The storm may be battering, the storm may be punishing, the storm may be way beyond our ability to comprehend, but as long as we are focused and as long as we are anchored in Jesus Christ, not one will be lost. That's the good news. That's the good news of this story, is that not a single person, not a single individual, not even the criminals who might have deserved death, not one of them was lost. And that was a testimony to God's mercy, to God's grace, and to God's love for humanity. Heavenly Father, as we read the story of the Apostle Paul, oh, how we long to be like the Apostle Paul in the sense that even though we live in a world that's being battered by sin, even though there is difficulty and hardship in our everyday lives, even though some of the challenges in our lives seem to be washing over us and are ready to drown us, God has promised that if we stay faithful and true, if we hang on to that lifeline, hang on to Jesus Christ and do not let go, we know that if we are faithful to the end, that He will take us home and we will live eternally with Him. Help us, Father, to be faithful like the Apostle Paul. We pray in Your name. Amen.